Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, and just as I pressed start there, there was a little blip on one of the screens. Wouldn't you know it? Now, we're here to discuss the week in all Apple news, such as it may be, and all the stuff that's going off and isn't going off, and no one's got an invite yet for the 17th of October, and it's going to be the 23rd, and...
Except Don.
Don
just can't, you know, Don just can't talk about it.
Don McAllister is rejoining the panel. We've all held our breath for weeks while we've been waiting for him to come back. How you doing, Don?
It was only a week. I've only missed a week.
Exactly. That's when you're holding your breath, mate. A week's a long time.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. No, it's nice to be back. Yeah, I'm just trying to have. If I'm truthful, I'm just having. I've got so much stuff on at the minute that I'm preparing for this mega trip at the end of this month. So I'm really, really, really under the cosh to get shows produced and the sessions for while I'm away as well. So I've had to. Stop doing a couple of things, and unfortunately, I'll definitely be on a couple of times before we go away again.
Excellent. No, mate, we appreciate any time you can give us. It's very kind of you. Thanks, Matt.
Cool.
Are you well, though? Don't make yourself ill rushing around, eh?
Yeah, no. We had some visitors this week, so I took a day and a half off, so I did the touristy bit. So, yeah, feeling refreshed and ready to put the pedal to the metal to get it all sorted.
Oh, blimey. Yay, Don, says the chat room. Jolly good. Next to him, Carl Swagger from the Philippines. And late evening there, Propel in hand. How come you never got a beer in hand, mate? Do you not drink?
I only drink usually once a year, and that's usually during New Year's.
Really? I thought it might be a Jekyll and Hyde thing. I daren't drink while I'm on the show, because once I've had one, I don't know what I'm going to say.
I don't know. I guess socially sometimes a little bit, but no.
Oh, okay.
Go to that approach.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll just make our own rumors up then.
Yeah, please, go interesting. Ahead. Yeah, it's more enjoyable for everyone.
Cool. Kelly from Portland. How are you doing, girl?
Yes, not sure yet. It's still very early in Kelly land.
Jolly good. Has Apple Maps sorted itself out for you yet?
We have dramatically less park now.
Dramatically less park?
Yeah, which was a problem before, that there was a whole bunch of Portland that it thought was a park that wasn't actually a park, and so it's now the right size.
A park. And now we've still got issues over here, it has to be said. I'm just going to use DHM's screen for a second, if I might. Sorry about this, Andy. Here's where I live on Google Maps. Okay, do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful, beautiful shot of us on a sunny day, and I'm in that little echelon there on the right and the middle. Yeah, that's my road. That's what it looks like on Google Maps. So, you say, well, surely now Apple would have caught up. Well, okay, here's what I look like on Apple Maps at the same resolution.
Wow.
Now, Sharon's not happy, because it would appear that anyone purchasing our house from online maps would think that we live in a field. And we've had to try and... we're not in a Bedouin tent in the middle of nowhere. We do have a road, because my road isn't actually even on those list of roads. There's several roads missing, and mine's one of them. There you go. And that's how Apple Maps currently looks. And that was taken on Monday. There you go. So... Apple still has a lot to do. A lot to
yes,
do.
Yes, they do.
Most definitely. I've gotten all confused now. They should hire me.
So in other words, if you're going to stalk Ewan Rankin, you need to use Google Maps and not Apple Maps.
Absolutely. I think that's actually the way that Google are now selling it. Schmidt went on at All Things D and he said, for stalkers, it's got to be Google. And last but by no means least... on the circle around the outside, it's Adam. How you doing, mate? Adam,
good.
I nearly called you Adam Curry then. Adam yeah, Christensen,
that one
from the MagCast. Sorry, pal. How's things been? We've shifted weeks with you because you couldn't do last week. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good now.
Oh, why?
Oh, we won't go into that.
Oh, okay, right.
Because he spent last weekend hanging out with me. That's why.
Oh, did he?
No, that is not why. That was fun. Yeah,
Kelly's a good drinker, from what I hear.
Yeah,
yeah, she can put them back.
Yeah, Okay. I think it was Cards Against Humanity that did it.
Really?
Oh,
yeah, that put the weekend over the top.
And the man that ties them all together, smack in the middle, for whom there would be no centre without the outside. It's DHM. How you doing, mate?
Yes, I do like having a good centre. I'm a very centred person.
Centred, as in Reiki love.
Yeah, I've just stopped the live video stream because my beautiful Sky broadband connection will not actually allow me to stream the video and talk.
That's all right, mate. It ain't worth watching anyway, don't worry. It's just us chickens. I live in a field, yes, Bookery. I live in a field, thank you. How you doing, DHM?
Yeah, good. Bit of a quieter week, which is A, nice because it's quiet, B, bad because it's quiet. yeah.
All things quiet. There we go. The week in Apple, there's not been an awful lot going on. If you would like an app, an iPad made out of 24-karat gold, Dubai has one. A company called Gold & Co. are making a gold iPad, 24 carats around the outside on the back. I bet it weighs an absolute ton, but you can have it. It's interesting how they show the back and not the front. That's the best thing about it. And also, everyone said all the purple stuff that's on iPhone 5 with your pictures... Well, it happens everywhere else as well. That's a photo taken from an Android phone. Apparently, everything's purple. Lens flare is purple the world over now. And Apple's got some competition because Logitech are releasing a pad that's got multiple gestures on it and all that kind of stuff. Will they sue? Who knows? Who knows? iPad mini, then. Let's get that one out of the way quickly because, I mean, that's a pain in the arse, isn't it? It was going to be.
Well, I guess it would be, but it'd be less of a pain than the 10-inch, right?
True, true. Yes, you'd need less cream to get that up there. There's supposed to have been a press event. There's supposed to have been invites sent out already for the 17th. The Benny Vista Center was already plugged out, but it's not going to be. Apparently, it's going to be in the town hall now on the 23rd. Are they just pulling our chain, or is this really going to happen?
Yeah, it's definite,
says Don. Yeah. You've given them the okay.
No, well, Jim Dalrymple has said it's a yep, yeah. So that's good enough for me. So
that's right. Confirmation.
Yeah. Have it as a definite. Yeah, yeah.
It's good enough. Definite.
The invites still haven't gone out though, so it's still just rumor speculation. But I think it's pretty.
Go on, Kelly.
Did you get your invite, Kelly? I think she was going to tell us she got her invite.
I wish I could. on Loop Inside today, it says that the event is October 23rd. And if that's the case, then they have at least a few more days. They have until early next week before it would be a week out. I would assume that the invites would go out like a week early. So if it's the 23rd, I expect invites to go out next Tuesday.
Right. I'm being told off in the chat room, by the way, that apparently it won't weigh a ton for the iPad made of gold because the weight of gold per cubic foot is a ton. Windrider, you've got to get out more, mate. You really have. Don,
we got to hold out for the lead iPad.
Adam, have you got an invite?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have? Totally.
No. Haven't. Apple doesn't let me anywhere near those things.
But you're an Apple evangelist, mate. You're the one person that's kept you afloat.
Yeah, let me tell you the Macworld story sometime, and it'll explain everything.
Well, they threw you out?
Nah, it's a long story.
Oh, okay.
We won't get into it. But needless to say, I don't get invited to these things.
We've asked you two things so far today, and you said, no, I don't want to talk about it. I hope that changes as we go through the podcast.
Long story short is something went down. It really wasn't my fault. Apple PR wasn't happy about it, and that's the short version.
I was going to say that's kind of like, you know, this thing went down in Colombia, and you know, it got kind of messy.
I did a podcast event at the Apple Store where the Apple Store people invited me to come to the store and do the event there. It was the same year Leo was going to do an event up there.
Right.
He got kicked out of the Apple Store. I negotiated to stay in the Apple Store, but basically I had to change all my content last minute and focus last minute and stuff like that. And some things were said that Apple PR wasn't happy about. And I guess I didn't control it well enough. And so there you go.
God.
Oh, that's, and I'm making it better by telling you this story now. So, guarantee you'd have me to get it.
I do you know, I always wondered why when you're on, we dip in iTunes. Now I know. That's we don't by the way, don't feel bad.
If anyone from Apple's listening, I would never do anything like that at Apple.
Yeah, I love Apple. I love Apple.
It wasn't even me who said the things, nor who they were concerned about.
Oh, see, that's even worse.
That's uncontrollable.
Famous. I had an incredible podcast panel. Is basically what we did there, and I had like 24 of the top Apple Mac podcasters at the time in the event, and they were very concerned about, you know, what was going to get said, and I was told I had to control people, and I went, yeah, like that's possible with a bunch of podcasters. Yeah,
impossible.
But I'll try my best, and yeah, so it's all right.
Most definitely.
I get more coverage done virtually, actually. I mean, on those things with the live blogging and everything mm-hmm. else, it's much easier to cover the event, I think, from outside of it.
Yeah, I think with Apple as well, what they tend to do is... what they tend to do is they, with very few exception, is they go for journalists or pundits who have more of a general reach rather than the Mac enthusiasts. So, you know, if you're a journalist on a normal newspaper or you have reach that reaches outside of the normal spectrum, there goes the ice cream van. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
It's gone. You'll get more chance if you're a sort of more traditional or a tech journalist who's not in the sort of Mac enthusiast space. I think they don't really want to preach to the converted. They want to reach out to people who might know what's going on. So they're the people who tend to get the invites to these big events, I think.
Interestingly, it seems like it's changing a little bit. This last event seemed to have a little bit of a wider list. And it also changes depending upon where Apple is holding the event. Like the last one for the iPhone 5 was at Yerba Buena, which is a much bigger space, as opposed to when they do something in their town hall. And I think speculation at this point is that they'll probably do the town hall thing for this next one, so it might even be a smaller invite list. So
Is that pretty much confirmed that they're saying town hall over anything else?
No, it's not. It's a rumor.
No, again, it's still nothing official.
Right.
One thing that is interesting, and I mentioned in the pre-show bit, is that the October 23rd date is actually the same date when they launched the original iPod. So, and it's also been noted that it's a couple of days before the earnings event, whereas normally they have these events a couple of days after the earnings event. So I don't know if they're going to make a big thing about it being, you know, the anniversary of the original iPod, and perhaps that might give a bit of a direction in the way they actually want to push the iPad mini.
It's also right before the tablet launch, right? The Microsoft
thing, yeah.
Tablet.
Yeah, you can't miss the opportunity to give Microsoft a good kicking. We've had a review. If you'd like to review us, please go ahead and do so. Thank you ever so much to everyone who reviews us. Regardless of how many stars you give us in iTunes, it makes a big difference to our rankings. We leap up the rankings. It's got nothing to do with Adam Christensen, honest. from Stuart Hurd, and it's not the best review we've ever had. He gave us a bit of a kicking on the big show as well last week. For the most part, I've enjoyed watching the Mac Show podcast. However, in its annoyances, Will Green, for one. That's not fair. Although he's toned it down a bit and his random tangents and whining aren't there. Ewan too often seems a bit anti-Apple. For an Apple podcast. Are we all fanboys?
No.
No? I didn't think we were fanboys.
You say anything bad against Apple. See, this is the fun thing about being an Apple podcaster, is that you say anything bad against Apple in the slightest, and you'll get a certain number of people that will tell you that you're too anti-Apple, and then you'll get all the way on the other spectrum saying that you're too pro-Apple. So I get it from both sides, and I'm just me.
I try and call it how I see it. We'll like it or love it. There you go. However, the show is saved by guests like Christensen, McAllister, Inatco, and Forsman. 5 stars if Will Green continues to be less annoying and Ewan learns to see the Apple news from both sides of the coin. Well, you know, you can take your extra shah, Stuart. Mm-hmm. And you'll need a bit of KY jelly where that's going, pal. I'm telling you.
I thought you were going to get on me about my thing that I'm very, positive about Apple's maps.
Gazmaz says to get both sides, you must be pretty even. There you go. See, even-handed. Are you a bit of an Apple Maps hater, then, Adam? Have you given them a bit of a hard time?
No. I'm the one guy who thinks it's okay and Apple did the right thing and it'll get better. I'm one with Maps willing to step back and say, look, this is a really good first try, and I think they're going to be working very hard to fix them. seems like they are in the U.S., and this is what I was concerned about, is that internationally, I'm not sure that they've stepped up their efforts from what I'm hearing. But like the example that Kelly was giving, I've had a couple people in New York and Connecticut, some other places let me know that they fixed some things. I did have one of my listeners on Australia say that they have corrected some stuff down there as well. So I think Apple's working hard to fix the issues. Your example is one of the bigger ones, but
I'm still in the field.
There's a real problem where they're showing you're in a field and you're obviously not in a field and they're not showing roads. I have another guy in Hawaii who lives on a windy road and they show a straight road and, you know, his address isn't listed correctly. But I was just saying, you know, a large percentage of the errors that I'm seeing seem to be more visual errors or where something is slightly off. I'll give you a good example. When we were at this event this weekend, the Mac Computer Expo, there was an after party kind of thing. And I used the maps to turn by turn to get there. And the only thing that was wrong is they said the place was on the right side of the street when it was really on the left side of the street. So reasonably intelligent people can figure out, you know, the numbers, the other side. Okay, we need to fix that. And we reported it. We'll see how quickly Apple fixes it. So there's some major issues, but I mean, this is also a major undertaking. So I'm willing to give them a little bit of time. And my take is that I want to see how many people they put on it. You know, at one point, I think reports were Google had 7,000 employees working on maps. I don't think Apple has anywhere close to that. And mapping experts, I've actually had a couple cartographers email me and say, look, this is common for mapping systems. The question is you have to get regional experts in these areas. So I was kind of not really joking when I was saying maybe they should hire you. You know, they need to get people familiar with these regions and hire them, get them on staff, how they do it. You know, apparently they're using some Apple Store employees, which is a good idea because they're going to be familiar with their geographic region. But they need more of that sort of thing.
Well, and I'm available, really, and I've got a camera. A camera. I could take pictures. Yeah, Gazman said he sent in two corrections 2 weeks ago. They haven't changed anything, mate. I told them that their Xfit data was
internationally.
Knackered.
Yeah, it seems like they're not stepping it up.
I was part of the developer program, and I told them that their Xfit data was knackered on iOS 5. When it was first out for developers, and they never changed it. It's still knackered. They still haven't got the EXIF data right. The thing still comes out upside down in half the programs they got and the right side up in the other programs that they got. So, go on, DHM. He only speaks twice in the program, so let's not miss it. Come on.
You might remember a few shows ago that I was informing you that I had a colleague that I knew that had tried to use the maps around Paris and got horrendously lost. But now that the apps has released, I can actually reveal that was, in fact, me.
No, really?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And since I got my iPhone 5, I've been using my maps as the GPS in my van, and I haven't been misdirected or got lost or lost the plot once in 3 weeks. It's been completely faultless.
But you were using the developer version, weren't you? You weren't using the finishing...
When we were in Paris, it was the developer version. It was on the developer account. And I mean, if the pace of change, and I do think it'll probably be US-centric, because Apple really do love to ignore the rest of the world until they're ready.
Oh, and I'm the Apple hater. Yeah, right.
way back when iTunes was launched, it's like, we can buy stuff online.
Mac Jim in the chat room says, I've said it before, but try Flickr maps and they're even worse, at least as bad.
I think what'll be interesting, though, is when Google finally gets their app in the store for the maps and see how many people stop using it. Because right now, it's just like we're stuck with it. And I fall in the category of, it wasn't broke. Why the hell change it? And it's purely for self-indulgence, the way I see it. It is Apple.
No, customer fortune, mate.
What's that?
They were paying for the data, though, don't forget, from Google.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. You know, but, you know, I think they can afford it.
No.
But also, Google wouldn't give them 10x10 directions.
No.
They wouldn't.
That's right.
Nor vector maps. I mean, a huge benefit that people aren't pointing out, I saw a study that they did. They looked at the amount of data consumption that happens with Google Maps on iOS versus the new Apple Maps. And it's like a fifth of the amount of data. And, you know, with more and more data contracts getting constrained and capped and stuff like that, that can be a big deal if you're using turn-by-turn a lot. Mm. So,
really?
And that could be a deal breaker right there.
Go ahead, Kelly.
I was just agreeing with Adam. I think also with Apple Maps. I was trying to use it while I was at an event, and I know that they got a bunch of reports about that.
I'm deaf.
That is the Apple alarm. Apple knows we are talking about them. Please keep your comments piffy and bright.
Please leave the podcast by the left entrance.
Perhaps I should take this phone out of the room, I think. I'll do that.
So it was, I know they got a bunch of reports. I wonder how fast they're going to fix that from last weekend. But I think, well, so the thing for me about Apple Maps is that it has lost functionality. A lot of people have said, oh, it doesn't matter. You can use the web app and it works just fine, except I tried to use the web app because we were going to go head to head because someone else was using the turn by turn directions and I was going to use Google Maps and see what sort of navigation we got. And when I went to Google Maps, I put in the address that I had, and then I couldn't find a way within the web app to say from current location to this address, plan my route.
Mm.
There was no way. So I had to have the address where I was, and because I was in a place I didn't recognize, I've never been to Petaluma before, which is where we were, I had no way to tell where I was right now. And particularly once we got in the car, then it was pointless because there was no address. I'm like on this road and I can't do anything. So for me, that was frustrating. And I hope that if Google gets a Maps app into the store, that is something that becomes part of the map.
Chat room is saying, is that Apple calling Don again, says Gazmaz. Alex says, I'm going, this is far too pro Apple. And Teresa says, turn by turn in Boston is screwed no matter what you use for the service.
Yeah, Teresa's not the only one to say that.
Yeah, that's true as well. I've had a number of people report that Apple's turn by turn is actually for them better than the third party or dedicated like GPS systems that they have. I had one guy tell me, you know, he's kind of in a rural area of Connecticut and he can actually, it tells him the right route, whereas his other system, he'd always have to ignore this one turn because it was not the most efficient way. And Apple had the most efficient way. So I think there's good and bad in all of this. The other thing I want to point out, which was something that Dave Hamilton from the Mac Observer mentioned to me, is that if you look at this, like what Apple has done is sort of in the prior version of iOS, you had a map application that was more like a point of interest kind of thing where you could find places and locations, but they didn't have a free turn by turn. Now, and so you'd have to get a third party app, say, for that, something like Navigon. Now they've sort of flipped it and they have what I think most people see as a pretty good turn by turn system, but what they're missing is the mapping thing. So Apple's now saying, well, you got to get a, you know, here's some third party apps you have to get for maps. Whether you agree with that or not, you know, I don't like that. I want sort of one app that would do it all. So I'm going to call them out on that. I think that stinks. I think they need to fix up a lot of the point of interest and also bring back the transit directions, I think would be really nice. And I hope they do that.
Hmm.
If you look at it that way, that logic makes sense. They've sort of given us a free turn by turn built in. And now we're saying get a map thing, whereas it was sort of reversed before.
I think that the thing is, though, with the original Google Maps app, and it was an app, so it was sort of like a separate application. Now it's actually embedded within the operating system. So there's going to be a lot more potential for, you know, integration right across, you know, all the applications in the operating system, and also third-party apps as well, if they open up the APIs to the mapping data. So they've sort of taken it from this siloed bit of information that, you know, Google had, and now it's going to be integrated across, you know, all applications and the entire phone and any future iOS devices as well. So I think in 3 or 4 years' time, it probably will be unrecognizable to what it was as the Google app.
Mm. Alex is just saying in the chat room here, what about if Apple did geopolitical maps? And I was just sitting thinking, I just think in my head, if you take an Apple geopolitical map, mix it with Apple Maps, and then mix it with Apple autocorrect, you could get a border dispute that escalates to a really serious conflict, but it'd be between Colombia and Australia. No?
That's awesome.
What else has been happening in the Appleverse? There's not an awful lot. Logitech have got a pad here. And the trackpad, it doesn't look like the trackpad because it hasn't got the roll on the back. Whether it's a rechargeably type thing or whether it's got a battery in, I can't think it's got a battery in based on how thick it is. But it's multi-touch and it does the job. Now, the question in my mind was instantly whether this has been licensed to them as an ability to interface with Mac or whether this is just a dispute waiting to happen in the courts? No?
I would doubt it. I mean, you can get multi-touch on the Wacom pen tablets now. They full right. multi-touch, so that's been out for a while. So, no, I don't think, because it's not, although it's competing with the trackpad, I don't think they're going to be that upset about it. It's just another, you know, another choice for people, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, anyone else?
No, I'm too scared to speak.
Kelly, come on, you must have something to say about this.
Well, I think it'll depend on the logistically what it actually does and how it actually does it. And my question is whether or not this is something that will work on Windows. Because I know that Mr. Kelly is very jealous of my Magic Trackpad, and using
that's not
it on
a euphemism
Windows,
for anything. I hope
not a euphemism.
I got no editing time available.
No, not a euphemism. And and he would really like to have the ability to use a trackpad on his Windows machine, but that currently to do that is fiddly at best.
Must be something in the chat room.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's nothing to do with the chat room at all. Sorry. It just... That started the wrong way. Sorry, Kelly. But...
At least it's fiddly.
It's fiddly at best.
Is that one of those UK terms that we Yanks don't know about?
What,
fiddly?
Yeah.
Fiddly at best. Fiddly. No, fiddly. Well, she's used it. She's American. You've got to know fiddly.
Apparently not.
Everything in America. No, everything in America is obviously huge
over here.
They say that everything's apparently big in America. So there we go. Maybe that's it. Maybe we should move off the trackpad, shall we? Blimey! Some dude who's really good with chips, a key designer from Samsung, has gone over to Apple. Jim Murgard has now moved to Apple after a brief stint at Samsung, marking a significant talent win for Apple in building its own chips. I mean, this guy's sitting in the back of his shed in the garden making chips since he was 16 years old. Are they saying he's a huge win for them? But, I mean, what are they going to do with him? Is this helping
is
out
he
the
pumping
phone
up the
remote
commissary? The cafe there?
Is that your knowledge of English again? So you're not using French fries there? Well done, mate. Well done. Huzzah.
Good. British humor.
Well done, pal. I like that. You're good. I mean,
could it be? I mean, we've been talking about this whole thing with Intel and all that. I mean, is this their way forward now of dumping Intel?
You think? This is an AMD thing.
Man, yeah.
Well, don't forget, Apple do design their own chips and they you know, format the prefab stuff, but they're very... All the chips in the iOS devices are now custom chips, so and they bought that company, what, 3 or 4 years ago? They've brought in a lot of talent for designing chips, so yeah, it could well be a way of getting away from Intel and going completely custom chips.
Mm.
They're pretty darn good at it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kyle, come on. You started this last week, and we had a load of different views last week on it. We've got a different panel this week, which might be interesting to hear the difference, but... I mean, you were suggesting, you said that you thought within 2 years, they'd be completely away from Intel.
Yeah.
Apple would be...
I think they will. I think they will. I mean, I think that's the direction they're going, honestly. I mean, yeah, we all agree that an A6 is not going to power an iMac, obviously, but it makes perfect Apple sense. They've more or less have done it before. I can definitely see them doing it again. And they not only do they have the finances to do it now... They have the platform to really do it now, and only in the end, I think it's really just to piss off the Hackintosh people.
Am I right in saying that Apple?
I don't buy that. I think it's all about what they're discovering is it's more the ability to marry the hardware with the software and really be able to control your own destiny in terms of things like battery life and slimmer designs. It gives them a lot more flexibility if they're designing that stuff because they can really tailor the operating system and the hardware. I think that's what they've discovered with iOS and why we're seeing these amazing, like the iPhone 5 is getting amazing benchmark scores. Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of the tweaking they're able to do on both sides of the equation.
Yeah.
And I think if they want to take, you know, do innovative new designs on the desktop and with notebooks and different form factors and stuff like that, I think they, you know, I think it was kind of an experiment with the iOS and it's gone incredibly well and they're thinking now, hey, we should just do this for desktops also.
Chat room saying, sorry, Don, go ahead.
I was going to say, and don't forget, Apple have been burnt in the past with the with being reliant on, you know, chip manufacturers. If you look back to the PowerPC days and, right. and the troubles they had trying to actually get, you know, decent performance out of the laptops because they were sort of stuck with the PowerPC range and they literally couldn't make the chips that would run cool enough to run on a laptop. So, you know, that stymied them for a couple of years, and that led on to them using Intel, you know, and going across the Intel platform. But you know, perhaps they don't want to get into that position again, being reliant on a third party for their desktop chips. So you know, they're doing so well on the iOS side in creating the customized chip. It would seem logical that they'd want to go down the route of having control of the entire chip production. Not so much the production, because that's still a specialized thing, but the actual chip design and partnering with people to actually create it for them. It seems, you know, very Apple-like, really, and would sort of negate some of the problems they've had in the past.
Is this, I mean, am I right in saying that since the original iterations of Apple Computing, Apple have never had a desktop that's run without a third-party purchased chip? They've never done it in-house, have they? It's always been a third-party chip that supplied it.
The closest they ever came was being in cahoots with Motorola on the PowerPC chips.
Well, yeah. Wasn't IBM involved with that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At one point, yeah.
But that was like you say, that was a standard-ish type chip, though, wasn't it? It's never been truly custom. No. So this is a huge leap.
I can't. Well, yeah, it would be. I can't go that deep in my geeky mind, but yeah, I think that's correct. And I see this coming sooner than later, honestly. I mean, within 2 years.
I mean, didn't they suffer recently? Time frame, yeah.
Yeah, because didn't Intel sort of screw up on the release of the latest chips and sort of push back, you know, the sale of the latest MacBooks by a couple of months?
Well, Kelly, you've made a point in the chat room here you need to make in this. What you just said?
Well, the Mac Pro is a perfect example of this. This is a really excellent reason why Apple would want to bring all of this in-house, even though it's really easy to rely on someone else to source all that hardware. Look at the Mac Pro. The reason the Mac Pro is languishing the way it is and the reason people are sort of crossing their fingers and hoping, even though there hasn't been a server chip announced from Intel, is because, you know, the Mac Pro is languishing because Intel hasn't evolved that chip. And so if that chip can't get any faster, then Apple can't build new. I mean, they could add Thunderbolt and things, but if the chip isn't evolving any more quickly, then Apple kind of has to sit on their hands and wait for that to come through.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
So if they go to a custom chip, then what happens to all the people that are happily running Windows either under Boot Camp or more properly under, you know, with Parallels or Fusion on their Macs? That have, you know, one of the things that made them switch is the ability to have Windows there in the background. If Apple switch over to a custom chip, where does that go?
That's a really great point. I hadn't even thought of that.
I think it just means people will have to try. I think like VMware and Parallels will just have to try a little harder to run it on that hardware. I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. There were ways to do it back in the day.
Yeah, we did, but it was with Microsoft, whatchamacallit, you know, the horror of it has blanked it from my mind. When we had the PowerPC G4, G5, you could run Windows, but Microsoft had that application, and it was anyway, there aren't English words to describe how foul the experience of running Windows on the Mac.
Yes. Thank you for not swearing there, by the way.
I think that's the point, though. I don't think they care. I think they want you on their OS, and that's it. They don't give a crap. I think most of them would probably say, you want to do what with our product? You want to put Windows? What the hell are you thinking, dude? We're not going to let you do that.
About 50% of my customer base runs Windows on their Macs in some form. And of that 50%, a sizable percentage would not have switched to Mac if they couldn't do that.
Yeah, but that was in the past, though, wasn't it? That was like 3 or 4 years ago. Whereas, you know, where are they going to be positioned in 3 or 4 years' time when, you know, maybe sooner than that. But when the new chips come in 3 or 4 years' time, we're seeing the rise of the iOS platform and how successful that's become with the iPads and the iPhones. And, you know, the Mac itself is getting traction. Who's to say in 2 years' time, when they might have had a custom chip, that the need to actually run Windows applications perhaps isn't that much of a driver for them anymore, and they're prepared to take that chance of just pulling the rug.
It's Sage that people hold up as the one big stumbling block for Mac. There's, you know, that's the big black hole area still is accounting software, by which they mean Sage. And, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years' time, it's pretty much going to be a, you know, software as service thing on the internet rather than on your computer.
Chat room's chipping in here. They're saying you can't blame Intel for the Mac Pro. The vastly newer chip architectures out there that aren't being used. Winrider says G5 was a detuned gaming processor in the first place anyway, if you remember. Wymoons has come in with Mac Pro could have SATA 3, Thunderbolt, Ivy Bridge equivalent chips and other features. Apple, not Intel, is the failing here. So they're agreeing with you there, Kelly, on that one. Definitely. And Batwitch wants to know if Microsoft Thingy is compatible with Microsoft Thingamajig.
No,
it's Microsoft. It's not compatible with that. Or the widgety doodah, that doesn't work either.
No, widgety doodahs definitely. Well, 1.0 does, but you need Bonjour, I think, or Rosetta, maybe. Adam, you've got a serious point.
The other thing I was just going to point out is even if Apple does custom silicone, you know, and does their own chip, that doesn't necessarily preclude the ability to do virtualization, and virtualization technologies like Parallels and VMware Fusion are getting really, really good, and they just get better. And I can only imagine how good they'll be in 2 to 3 years' time. So maybe you won't be able to do the whole boot camp thing and boot natively on an Intel processor, but virtualization is probably going to get most people by it. And that my experience in talking to people is that seems to be what most people are using. There's a few exceptions where people are actually using something like Bootcamp, mainly on the gaming side of things. You know, this is where I'm seeing people doing that, but a few other applications, yeah. Specialist applications. But most people who are doing accounting or, you know, other Windows-based software, people I talk to are using virtualization. And I don't think that gets precluded if Apple does their own chips. So
I found it's mostly for my customers. It's mostly their IT departments where they work. Quite happy for boot camp because the machine boots up and it is a Windows PC, and the IT people will allow that on the network. And if they run virtualization, some of the people will know it's still a Mac, you're not putting it on the office network. I mean, whether that's right or wrong, and it's in fact wrong.
Well, that's ignorance. Yeah, it is.
I'm not saying
that's
it's
IT ignorance.
No, it's the state of the nation, though.
Yeah,
it's right or wrong, it's the way things are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. So you can play along here, chat room as well. Feel free. Who is
a person that calls up the IT department in their office and calls them ignorant and expects their computer to ever connect to the internet again?
I think IT departments have got policies.
Well, we don't say that publicly. I'm saying that here. Yeah. I wouldn't say that to their face.
No, if you go to an IT department in an organization and say, can I see the ignorance policy? They've got a policy on ignorance, on how to be ignorant, how to challenge people who are trying to make you not ignorant.
Yep.
Well, and the ignorance works both ways, by the way. I will point that out as well.
I've got a computer that's owned by a firm that I work for, and the only reason I have it is so I can input my invoices onto their accounting system because they got SAP and stuff like that. And I get an email that they keep sending me, and I can't get the damn thing to tie via Wi-Fi. I've got to plug it in over here. And I keep saying to them, this is the biggest load of crap I've ever seen in my entire life. And they say, yeah, but it's secure. I'm like, I've got the password and I can't get in it. That's how secure it is. It's dysfunctional. So chat room, everyone else here, who's a confirmed Mac user who also runs Windows in Parallels or in Bootcamp? I do. Dono?
Me. No, we haven't done it for ages.
Right, okay. Carl?
Nope.
Kel?
I have a separate laptop I use for it because my machine is older and getting all of it to work is a lot of horsepower. So.
Unclean.
That too.
Adam, you're saying yes. Is that because of the web development element? Yes. No.
That's exactly right.
So that's work. Okay.
I got to test websites.
Yeah. And DHM?
Yeah, I've got Windows 7 on my laptop and Windows 8 on the iMac.
Right. Okay.
Parallels.
Is that for work as well then, though?
That's just for fun.
Oh, good lad. Man who runs Windows for fun. Unheard of.
It's just so that I can boot into Windows, look at it on the screen and go, yes, I know why. I know why I do this now.
Windrider has asked who I'm calling a silly something, but I can't say that word. Max Sparky thinks there'll be a Findless OS. I hope he's wrong. Corporate IT says Microsoft's the answer. What's your question? Sarah says, sorry, chair and keyboard. Okay, never mind. And I'll come back to that, Sarah. Lee Mack says yes. Gazmas says no. Alex says yes. Ian says no. Didn't mean it to be all caps. No access to customers' networks. Need Windows security stuff to get running through that, says Alex. Bookery, you're typing it wrong. Jenks says yes. Teresa says no, not me. Bootcamp is cool, says Bookery.
I really think the switching is going to be is a big part of what got a lot of people in. I mean, remember, Apple was big on the all-in-one machine until the Mini, and the whole initial sales pitch for the Mini was bring your own monitor, keyboard, and mouse. You've got everything already, so all you need to switch out is that giant beige ugly tower for this cute little Mac. And I think that that is something that is really valuable to Apple, and that would be one of those leaving money on the table moves if they did something that completely broke all that virtualization for people.
Of course, when they did run that campaign, they weren't being in Apple world. They weren't expecting or hadn't remembered that most people were bringing their 12-inch CRT keyboard and mouse to the party, so they still had to go buy something else.
True,
but that's only helping them. You know, that's a good thing.
I agree
with Kelly to a point on that. I really do. But I think Apple's now, we've got you. We don't care. I think that's how they are now, honestly. You know, it's an iOS world now, and it's their world that they've made. And I don't really think they care so much about, it's like the old Mac users. I don't think they care as much about those people anymore.
I think that's right.
A different direction. Probably,
I can see that where it's a fair trade. We would rather reel people in via iOS than we would via, you can still run your old stuff if you need to. So I think that's a pretty valid point. It is the kind of thing that Apple would do to walk away from money on the table. I mean, they've done it before. So it would make sense that would be something that maybe they would consider continuing to do.
I mean, how does this all sit in? I mean, we've had a long conversation there about the process of whether Apple's going for its own desktop chips. How does that sit in with the desktops dead? It's all mobile now.
Well, it could be all iOS, couldn't it? I mean, there's the whole thing about, you know, in three years down the line, will the desktop actually be running a version of iOS? Will iOS and OS X actually merge together? And I suppose that the choice of processor or how the processor is designed will have a lot to say about that. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with Don, and it's funny, I hadn't heard David Sparks' thing about a finderless OS, but that got me thinking. I don't know if we want to even broach that subject, but I mean, personally, as I think about it now, I'm using the Finder even on my desktop less and less, and obviously iOS has no Finder and hasn't since it began, and nobody has trouble using those devices.
Yeah, but you don't interact with files on those devices in the same way, really, do you? I mean, you've got the odd one with notes and things like that where you're going up to the cloud, but it's not a Finder-like environment for file interaction. I was talking last night on TNT, and one of the things that I said to Sarah Lane was how much of the applications market now is actually fairly gutless in the fact, you know, the magazine is a new magazine article out for techie people that we can have a chat about on iPad. And you're paying $1.99 there for four blog posts every 2 weeks. So that's a dollar for a blog post per week. That's a lot of money. And what's behind it? I read the four articles I got for free on my 7-day trial last night. They weren't exactly earth-shattering. There was no pictures. There's nothing else on there. There was no links to anything else. There's no hot links or anything like that that open up in a window, because it probably can't. There's nothing there. You scratch the surface on a lot of applications. They're fun for 5 minutes, and then they're gone again.
You want to get a magazine like mine that's got videos embedded in. That's what you want.
Yeah. See, now, hang on a minute, Don. Because actually, that's true. Your magazine was a read with images, with interest, with links. And it wasn't $2 a month, was it?
It's actually, how much is it now? If you get a subscription, it's not much more.
No, but there's content.
Yeah, about 4 hours.
And there's instructional videos as well. This thing was plain text. There's no pictures. You can't choose the type of the font. So it was dyslexic with a serif font. It's a pain in the ass to read. And I looked at it, I thought, I don't think I'm going to be going past 7 days with this
I'll tell you, first and foremost, you're doing that whole Apple negative thing again.
I'm sorry.
And secondly,
I'm getting in the corner.
Pull one out of Apple's hat right now, and I'm going to say, it'll get better. It'll get better.
It's got to get a lot better, a lot quicker. I mean,
but that's the great thing about that, the content and magazines. You can choose to get Don's, the one that you like, and spend your money there, and someone else is going to enjoy the four-article model and find value in that. It's new media and it's options, and I think it's all, for me, it's all good. I like having more choice.
I agree. That. I agree
with your statements. I was looking at that, and I haven't determined, I might try the trial, but I didn't see the value in it, maybe for myself, but I'm sure there's lots of people who absolutely love it. It's got great ratings.
What annoyed me was the fact that I had to sign in and sign up for a subscription and then start a 7-day trial. I couldn't just see 4 free articles that said, here's what it's going to look like. And that's why, because the guys are relying on people not canceling. I'm sure of it.
Well, Ewan, you didn't have to.
No, I had to.
You chose to.
No. I got the magazine, and I saw that.
You were compelled? Someone sat you down at the keyboard and said, you have to sign up for this thing?
I got the magazine, and I saw the 4 articles on the front, and I saw the forward on the front, and it wouldn't let me see any of the articles until I'd signed up for a subscription, which was then going to automatically start in 7 days' time.
Right.
So I got 7 days grace period to see these 4 articles. But I've got to make a positive action to go and cancel it rather than looking at something going, yeah, I really like this, I'm going to subscribe, which is what Don's did. Don gave you a free episode, and if you liked it, you could subscribe. That's the way it should be, not you've got to subscribe to see the free episode. Big difference there, big difference.
No, I agree with that, yeah.
No,
I completely agree with that.
What I'm just saying is you could have saw that requirement and just deleted the app. You know, right at that point.
Yeah.
You didn't have to sign up. That was my point.
Well, I figured I was going to be on TNT and I wasn't going to have a lot to say if I didn't do it. So,
you had extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, I did it. I thought $1.99 to make sure I'm not looking like an arse is well worth the money. And I haven't even got to pay for it if I remember to cancel it. So,
I'm just amazed how many, how much buzz this generated, and all those diehard people who hated Newsstand are now saying, oh, actually, Newsstand's not too bad, which is great for other magazine publishers because it will, you know, just make people more aware of the magazine side of things. But I don't really know how we got onto this subject from the iOS/Mac subject. But just to go back to
the next thing, it was
lack of substance.
Podcast transitions, I think, Don.
Right, okay.
But going back to the point, Don, go on.
Well, no, the only thing I was going to say is that, you know, looking at a Finderless OS for the Mac and the desktop, I mean, I still think iOS still isn't fully finished. I still think there's things there that they never quite got round to and, you know, didn't fully round off. And the whole lack of a file system, I understand why they've done it, but they still haven't fully compensated for the lack of a file system. You know, there's still data that are in silos, and there's still a lack of interworking between applications. So, you know, they need to crack that problem before they can even think of moving iOS to the desktop. You know, there seems, I don't think it's fully baked. I still think there's lots of things they need to do to make it more rounded, even though I fully understand why they've gone down the road. It is the right road to go, but, you know, but they're not quite there yet.
Let's have an honest conversation about the Finder. And this is what got me thinking about this on OS X. You know, everybody seems to be afraid that it might go away, but I think a lot of us can agree too that it sucks. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh yeah.
So like, what are we holding on to? We're holding on to something that's already, in my opinion, broken. And again, as I'm starting to think about it, I very rarely use the Finder as like drilling into the Finder to go find something. I'm using Spotlight. I'm using iCloud. I'm using my Dropbox. So that's the one folder in the Finder I probably go into frequently, but I don't have Finder windows open typically. I'm launching stuff and opening and finding stuff either, you know, through Spotlight or through iCloud or through from within the app more using search than I am using the Finder because it's just a pain to go in the Finder and look for stuff.
Well, there's a search tool, Finder's Pool. It doesn't find stuff that you actually put the right name in of. So,
well, yeah, I've become incredibly dependent on search tokens to help find stuff. Yeah. So I'm constantly typing kind, you know, colon markdown and then name colon in the name of the markdown file that I'm looking for. And I've gotten incredibly efficient at writing that stuff. As a matter of fact, now that I think about it, I probably should set up some text expander snippets for those. But but that's here and over there. But the point is still the same, is are people really, really using the Finder to locate stuff? Because I'm just, as I think about it now, after that comment, I don't.
Kelly, you don't need to put your hand up, girl.
No, I am one. I use the Finder. I use it constantly. I don't do a whole lot of digging around, but I do a lot of, I flip to the apps folder because I do like Command Shift A. I do a lot of keyboard stuff. And from a long time ago, I sort of got hardwired into some of those things. So I still use that. I'm not browsing through folders looking for things most of the time. I'll do a search for that. But I do a lot of, you know, Apple Tab to get to the Finder, Apple Shift A, type a couple letters and fire up my application. I know that's not the most efficient, but that's just how I've been doing it for a long, long time. I can't even go back as far as I can think of.
Well,
so it's just, it's a habit. It's muscle memory. And as soon as Apple Shift A goes away, my head
will explode. You have an incoming call from Dr. Like Happy Mac.
Whoa.
Just like Apple Shift S. When Apple Shift S changed over, it drove me up a wall. And when Apple Shift A goes away, I won't know what to do. I don't launch stuff from the dock. I launch it from the keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I do is I have stuff filed away by events, by customer. So, you know, if I know I need to go and find a photo, I don't tend to use photo browsing software because I remember where it was and roughly when it was. So I'll go to 2009 DSC, March, April, May, February, whatever, that kind of stuff. And then I'll know roughly what it was that I shot. And I find stuff very quickly and easily that. But I've got to go through a file tree in order to find that stuff. And most of the way that I keep stuff organized is through file trees, which you need an Internet Explorer, not an Internet Explorer, you know, a Windows Explorer come finder to go and find that stuff. Away from that. And that, the problem with the cloud is you kind of just, with the cloud, you're just throwing it out there in a homogenous lump. And I would be lost if I was looking for photos in the cloud as it stands at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I use the photo browser in the, you know, open save dialog box more and more because I know that's what I'm looking for, those sorts of things. And, you know, this model, I think Don's point, though, is correct. I mean, Apple still hasn't quite figured out, I think, what the replacement is, which is why I think we still have the Finder. And they still obviously have a long way to go, but I'm starting to get this model where, you know, I open up an application and there's my files. The big example I can think of it on iOS where it's working for me is Omni Outliner on the iPad. I use that quite frequently, and just opening that up and there's all my Omni Outliner documents right there, and I can find the ones that I'm looking for. It's getting a bit unruly now that I have a lot, and that's one of those issues that has to get dealt with in terms of, you know, do we need folders? Is there a smarter way to do this? But the other feature of the Finder that I thought was stupid at first and I thought I would never use, but I'm using more and more, is the arrange by options and the all my files folder just sorted by date. I just have it set up so that the most recent files that I've worked on show up there. And I usually go right there because 90% of the time, those are the documents that I'm working for, is the stuff I've been working on in the past week. And they're just popping up there. So that is the one area of the Finder I'm using more and more. But I don't know that that has to be in the Finder. That could be implemented in a different way.
Yeah, but I think maybe photos is not a good example to set between you and I, though, Adam. Because if you look at me, I'm shooting a whole pile of nuts and bolts, a whole pile of screws for a catalog. I've got 800 photos I shot that day across 10 different component types. And a visual search of 800 photos for one that I need is just not impossible. That's never going to happen.
Yeah. But you don't need to narrow it down to Lightroom or something to manage that better.
No, because it's impossible. It really is impossible. To visually search through stuff at that level is just ridiculous. I need to know, here's the best 20 shots that I took from the varying sizes of screws I shot that day. And I know that screws are in the catalogue for DSC, and the catalogue for DSC was shot in about March, April, first quarter last year. Then it was March, April, May. And I use file trees that way to get down to a band of 30 or 40 images that then I know that item that I want is in those 30 or 40 images. Then I visually search, but I can't visually search the entire bolt, which is what the cloud wants me to do, definitely. Batwitch in the chat room says, Kelly's put her hand up because it's the only way she can get a word in edgeways.
Sorry.
Sorry, Kelly.
No, I just wanted to agree with Adam, but he asked, who's using the Finder? Me. I am.
Yeah.
Just quickly.
Well, and I know a lot of people are.
Chat room likes it as well. They're using the Finder. A lot of people say, Lee Mack says, no, I need the Finder. Got to get it every day. And he's going, no, need the Finder. So, Don, you'd be a Finder guy, I would have thought, as well, with yours being stored sequentially. Well,
I mean, project-based stuff. I mean, obviously, each episode, each tutorial I do is a separate project, and I have a distinct Finder structure, a folder structure where I keep all the different component bits. But I'm like Adam, I'm starting to use more and more of the All My File stuff. I just go there and the most recent things I've worked on are actually in there, even though I do still put them away in a discrete folder structure. So, you know, it's a mixture of both. Thinking more of tagging as well. I mean, I did do...
I was going to say that.
Yeah, tagging is something I really want to get into, but you really need to invest the time in doing it properly. And of course, if you do tag things properly with Spotlight and you know, other applications that you've got the support tagging, that is it's another way to look after your data and bring it back again.
Well, I sold stock images for a lot of years and made good money out of selling stock images before it fell apart. And keywording is a huge part of that. Mm. Smart folders is another thing that people just don't seem to use. They stick it in a folder and then they don't raise a, you know, it's almost like throwing out a fishing net and forgetting to put a float on the top so you can go and get the net back afterwards. You know, it's that bad.
I mean, it's become unruly. It's broken and we need a better system. Unfortunately, we don't have one now. And I think the final point I'll just say is, you know, the Finder's not going away tomorrow, but I'm saying I can envision a world where we have something different, and I can envision a world where maybe there isn't a quote unquote Finder per se, there's some better system out there.
Well, I got to say, I mean, if you're talking about launching programs, Alfred app, no question. Alfred app, Alfred app, Alfred app from Vero. Alfred app.
I believe that was about my first ever pick of the week.
I think it was. And the very first show was Alfred app.
Yeah.
And I picked it the second week. And then I think Carl picked it the third week. And then Don the fourth week. And then Will interrupted the run with Plex.
I think Will picked it last week, didn't he?
Yeah, he thought it was new. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. If there was an in love with a web provider, it would be this. We'd be married to them. It'd be fantastic. UK2 give us everything we need to keep things going. They're the bee's knees, the dog's cojones, and they're great. If you want something, if you're having trouble finding stuff on your own folders and you want to put it up in the cloud on a remote server or something like that, then you can do that. Go and get yourself a web address, get yourself a front end that'll go through and start looking for it. They've got cPanel and that kind of stuff that helps you go through file management. You can stick stuff up there, drag it back. As long as you've got a web browser, you're in. And there's great services, great prices as well. 20% off domains and loads of other stuff. First month free on VPN. And there's a site builder application that will help you develop your website and get it up in under a minute. Give UK2 a go because they're well worth it. Check out the prices. You'll be surprised. And don't forget, you've got loads and loads of discounts. On the sponsors link on our homepage, you'll find them all. Go to britishtechnetwork.com first, then click through to UK2, and you'll be very happy you did. Please support us.
I thought you were going to say hug.
Hug? No. Give them a hug. Yeah, give them a hug. Send them a hug. Go. Just type at UK2 on Twitter and send Craig a hug. There you go. Or send a hashtag out saying love UK2 and hashtag the UK2 or something like that, and they'll find it. There we go. Right, before we go any further, we've got another fantastic tip from the wonderful, wonderful Gazmaz. And also, he's sponsored by TechSmith. TechSmith make the fantastic software, which is for screen and video capture. Snagit for screen capture and Camtasia for video capture. And there isn't anything better than that. Plus, also, they love British Tech because they sponsor the Bash and they give free codes for giveaways and things like that. So again, please support TechSmith if you possibly can. Here's Gaz.
Hi everyone, Gazmaz here with a quick tip for the wonderful audience of The Mac Show, brought to you from the British Tech Network. This tip also comes with the help of Camtasia from TechSmith. Now hopefully this is a real quick, easy tip for you all. As you can see, I've opened up a Finder window. And one of the things that I often want to do, although there aren't too many here, is count up and add up a certain amount of files. If I want to send those files out, to perhaps someone over email, or perhaps if I want to put a load of files on a USB external memory stick. Now, normally, if you highlight a file, and you can either right-click, and as you can see here, the Get Info menu option is available. You can get to that also by going to File and Get Info, or you can use the shortcut key, which is keyboard key, which is Command I, and those options will each bring up this little menu here, which tells you all about that file. Now, let me show you what happens if you click on multiple files. So I'm pressing the Command key and clicking on various different files that I would like to know the size of in total before I either send them via email or perhaps put them on a key. Now, if I again press the Command I, or if I right click and go Get Info, which brings up the command, as you can see on the window, it brings up a menu item for each of the individual files. Now, that's not what I want. What I'd like to have is a piece of information which collates all of those files and gives me a size. Now, this is where the option key becomes your friend. If you right-click on the files and press the option key, you can see that the Get Info will show change to Show Inspector. Now, the same thing will happen if I click on File and again press the Option key, and the Show Inspector rather than Get Info item will appear. Now, the same thing happens on the keyboard if you press Option Command I. And what will happen is, you may be able to see this on the screen, is I have a menu item which has a lot less information available to me, but it has added up each of those files. It's told me that I've highlighted four items and the total megabyte is 32.8. So that's a quick way to add up multiple files that you perhaps click on which aren't all in one folder. Because, of course, if you click on one folder and Get Info, it will, of course, give you the total file size, folder size, and how many items are actually in that folder. So there's a quick way if you've got lots of files which are dotted all over the place and you want to see the total size before you perhaps send it via email. Well, I hope that was useful. That's all I have for you this week. As usual, have a great Mac week.
That's where I put Gaz.
That was awesome.
That was a great tip. Well done, Gaz. Thank you, mate.
I had no idea you could do such a thing. Thank you, Gaz.
And with something so fiddly as well.
Exactly. Took the words right out of Kelly's mouth.
Moving on. Cool things. Don, what have you got for us, sir?
Okay.
How are you doing for time, Adam? Are you all right for a bit?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
18 minutes.
That will do that. Right, super.
Well, it's something I'm not sure if I've actually picked this before, to be honest, but my mind was refreshed today. This week's Screencast Online show is all about shared photo streams, which is a great new feature in iOS 6. But I have to admit, using another technology to share photos, and that's a thing called PhotoSync. I'm constantly sort of taking screenshots and snapshots and even photos as well that I actually quickly want to get across from one device to another. And whilst PhotoStream works, it can take a little while for them to sort of, you know, percolate across and be there. But PhotoSync is an app that you can go into your camera roll, select the photos you want, and then synchronize them instantly with a Mac or another iOS device wirelessly. And it just works really, really well. And I find it completely invaluable. So that's my... you know what? I don't even know how much it is. I think it's a couple of quid.
$1.99, so that's £1.49 in the App Store.
So there's a version that runs on your iPad or your iPhone, and then there's also a Mac client as well, so that runs in your toolbar, or your menu bar rather, and it just allows you to whip photos, whip images between all your devices very, very quickly, and it's brilliant.
Now you look at the magazine, and then you look at that for the same price, $2. Give me that every time. Love it. Great pick, mate. And it syncs with Dropbox as well. Yeah.
And they keep improving it. They keep adding extra features. It's really clever.
Excellent. Good pick, sir. Thank you very much. And a cheapy one as well.
Good.
And talking of cheap, Swagger.
There I am. How you doing? Hey, it is cheap this week. It's free. I think.
No, really?
This might have been. Yeah, really? Yes, yes. So, you know, it's the middle of the month. Maybe the end of the month when I get my check or something.
Okay.
Start having paid apps again. This week, I think I did this on the big show a long, long time ago. But I thought I would, because I use it all the time. It's called TechWire, and it's literally a tech feeds app, and you've got just a whole bunch of, you know, it's a very simple interface. There's not a whole lot to it. There's an iPad version for it as well. But, I mean, you've got feeds on here from Engadget, Gizmodo, Mashable, Lifehacker, Ars Technica, of course.
Cool.
And it's a great little app. You can go in, you can tweet from there. I use it literally every day, especially when I'm on the go, and it's a good way of just keeping up on tech news as such.
Mm.
And it's free.
It's free, yeah. Connor Zwick has given you that. Open it in iTunes to find out.
It's simple and it's informative.
It's got some nice pictures as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was looking at the picture there that's got the rolling hills on it. Very nice, very pleasant. Hmm. Really good. Good pick, sir. Good pick. Kelly, what do you have for us, girl?
Mine is not free, but it's this really cool. It's a hardware pick, sort of. It's this, and what this is it's from Just Mobile, and I had the tab open. Let me find it. It's called the Just Mobile Lazy Couch. And
I hope it expands in water then.
Sadly, no. But what it does is it pulls apart, and then you set these on the table, and then you set your iPad, laptop, what have you, on top of it. And then you've got air coming underneath. You can ventilate, or you can use it just for a little bit of an angle on the surface that you're using it on. And the inside, this bit's rubber, and on the outside it's rubbery, so it's grippy. So if you set it on the table, it doesn't slide around. Uh-huh. And then when you set your laptop on the top piece, your laptop or your iPad doesn't slide around when you're trying to use it. So super duper handy. And then if you need to take it with you, they snap together. It's not magnetic. They just snap together. And then it's only that big. Drop it in your bag and call it good.
They do a pile of stuff that looks really interesting. They've got the AluPen, yeah, which people will probably be familiar with. Mm-hmm. But also they've got the AluCable Twist, which is a coiled cable. And there's the Mobile Gum Max, which is a supercharged refiller for your iPad. And there's a donut,
mm-hmm,
a tasty cable storage. $29 for a cable store. Not cheap then.
Well, that's list. You can probably find it for less someplace else.
Okay. And they do the X-Stand, of course, which is enormously priced.
Yes.
But very good. Good pick. Thank you. Adam, what do you have for us?
I actually, going back to our mapping thing, I missed the loss of Street View, and so I've been kind of playing around with some Street View apps, and somebody pointed me to one called Street Viewer, and it's great. Other than, I'm going to caveat with, the interface is a little clunky, but it has some awesome, awesome features. One, you can do search, and I can find all those local places I was talking about near me that sometimes Apple Maps doesn't find. It has traffic. It will find your location. But more importantly, it has Street View with the ability to take that little guy, you know, and drop them on the map. And the other feature I think a lot of people are really going to like that's amazing is it has a little toggle switch to switch between Apple Maps and Google Maps. So you hit the little G button on the side of the interface, and now you have Google Maps underlaying your stuff. It's got the full Street View. I think it's iPhone only. 99 cents. They have a paid version and a free version. I didn't try the free version. I just went straight and paid the 99 cents. Some of the weird quirky things people find is that, like, for zooming, it doesn't have a pinch to zoom. It has this little jog wheel on the side. So you kind of got to rotate that in and out. There's little crosshairs that you can sort of place as you're tapping on the screen. And I haven't figured out exactly how that's supposed to work. But when you enable Street View, that'll drop the guy. But you can sort of pick up the guy. It's a little bit fidgety in terms of actually grabbing him and dropping him. But it brings Street View back and also Google Maps back kind of in one mapping app. So you know, for 99 cents, it's worth a shot, even with the kind of clunky interface. Like the search box is a little weird. It doesn't come up quite right, and it needs some tweaking, but it's a good start, and I think people will find it useful. I found it pretty useful.
Well, it's 99 cents.
It's a map replacement. Yeah.
So you can't really complain.
I tried a couple other Street View apps, and this one seems to be the best so far. I'm sure we're going to get more of these and better, and you know, eventually if Google comes out with their standalone app, I'll probably dump it for that. But for now, it's really quite good.
There's Ian in the chat room is saying that wasn't a similar application pulled from the store just recently. So there might be an issue with sandboxing,
etc. You might want to grab it now. But yeah, I thought it was really great. I mean, the big feature I think, again, people are going to like is the ability to toggle the maps. So you can go right back to Google Maps with Street View and you're good to go.
Yeah, Kelly says, you said that they put the old version back up of Sketch for download.
Oh yeah, I was complaining about Sketch, yeah, and hadn't realized that those guys had put up a post. Kelly, sorry.
No, that's okay. Somebody, people in the chat room were expressing their opinion about the current version. So, at least to their credit, even though they took a bunch of stuff out of the new version. I think the headline on the Tua article was Evernote releases new version of Sketch without all those pesky features. And I think that's what we said about it. And they have put up the old version, which at least is sort of nice. It would be nice if they would just kind of leave that stuff in. But at least you can still get the old version from a reliable source as opposed to trying to procure an earlier version of Skype where you have to dig about in dark corners of the internet and hope that what you're getting is Skype and not some sort of virus.
Well, I mean, hopefully you have your time machine backups and you can just go back to that. That's another trick. I think people, I even forget, like somebody pointed out when I was complaining about Sketch, they're like, why don't you just use your time machine? It's like, oh yeah, I could use time machine and go back and get the original version.
That's all right. You can't think of the obvious all the time. DHM.
Hi.
What do you have for us, mate?
Right. iOS apps, two of them that I'm looking really interesting and good this week. One is for fans of vocal entertainment, which I assume everyone listening to podcasts is the BBC have launched the BBC iPlayer app for radio, which is basically a spin-off of the iPlayer app, but obviously focuses on just the BBC's radio output, and it is a very nice, fantastic little app. There it is there. You've got all your BBC radio stations that you can spin through here. You can click on all the choose the stations things, right down as granular as just searching for an individual song by an individual artist, and it will tell you which shows and which networks at what time that song was played, and you can home straight in on it. So it's kind of like a quick and easy way to listen to... Well, I suppose it's like Spotify, but rubbish. But anyway.
I'll sell it well.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, the BBC iPlayer app's a bit of a mixed bag, but the radio iPlayer is fully excellent, and I suggest everyone downloads it and listens to all their radio content on that.
What I love is if you look on iTunes, the rating for it says, will contain infrequent, mild sexual content and nudity.
On the radio. Well,
on the radio?
On a radio application, yes.
What presenters are wearing behind the microphone, anyone can only guess at.
Yeah, we're going to do an audio-only version of this show in a few weeks, and we'll all be nude then as well. So
yes.
Hang around for that one.
So that's free, which is
jolly
nice.
Good.
It's BBC, because, well, it's free in that we've all paid for it with our licence fee. And sorry, Kelly and Adam, you can't have it, I don't think.
Well, you can. Get a proxy.
You pay only.
Yeah, on the UK, can only get it from the UK store. So
yeah, but you can get the app free, and you can still fire it up on your phone.
Yeah,
newsgroups will have the app free. You still
have to use it. The other one I've been playing with is an educational little app called Exoplanet, which is very good. But there's some pay. It's free for the app, but it's paid for bits inside it. And basically, it's a little app, and it contains a database of every planet discovered outside the solar system. And it'll send you alerts whenever any of the sky surveys discover a new exoplanet. And you can click on the database and you flick through it and you can have a look at the planet and it tells you all about it. It shows you a little moving video of how it's discovered, whether it's through a transit method or wobbly star method or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it gives you a little Milky Way. You've got a little picture of the entire Milky Way galaxy in which we all live, which you can zoom in and out of, and it shows every the location of every planet around every star in our galaxy.
Wow. That'll take a while then.
Yep.
The only problem you've got with that, and this is where you really do need file applications, mate, is every single one of the buggers is called Kepler. How can every other planet in the known universe be called Kepler? That's just crazy. Yeah.
You know what the naming convention is, don't you?
Well, I know it's to do with Kepler's the vessel that gets it. Don't ruin it. It was a joke, but never mind. just where pour some realism on my humour, dude. Go on. Doesn't what are you going to say? What are you saying now?
It doesn't. The only downside, no Vulcan, no...
well, it's a pile of crap then, isn't it? Eh? Eh?
And I'm going to pretend I don't know the name of the Klingon homeworld now in case I come across as too geeky.
No, really?
Wait, that's a thing? Too geeky? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, actually, now you come to mention it, that one's not really on that side, is it? It's over there. No. Good pick, though, mate. If you like your planets, it's a good pick. It's definitely a good pick. Do you see that there's a whole branch of NASA's now looking for Dyson spheres?
That's all getting a bit silly, isn't it?
No, I think that's really cool. That's a great idea. I think I'm not sure how they figure that that's everywhere has to have a Dyson sphere, but I mean it's a start. I don't know how you look for one as well because it looks different, doesn't it? It's a heat signature or something.
Yeah, well, it would be where there would be gravitational effects for a star, but no light, I would imagine, because the light would be contained within the sphere, but the gravity would still be there. So if you got some gravitational lensing that was equivalent of a solar system with nothing there, then you could think, Dyson sphere.
You have no trouble picking up girls in Cirencester, do you, mate?
No, not for nothing do I not smoothly truck on down through the high street.
Talking about Dyson spheres. Boy, yeah. show us your Dyson sphere. I'll show you my anus. Your anus.
Embarrassed by me ever.
My pick is brilliant. Got me 12 gig of space back on my Mac Pro today that Don very kindly gave us, but I'm not allowed to talk about that. It's Clean My Mac. Clean My Mac for the Mac is just stunning. It's from MacPaw Software, and I've got to say, I tweeted out this week, it is my favourite piece of Mac software that I own, and they tweeted back saying thank you, we work hard for those kind of reviews, and it really is. I've got 12 gig back across the entire Mac Pro. It's $24 for £24 for a lifetime license, and they will update it and update it and update it and update it till the cows come home, until they stop updating it, and you won't pay a penny extra, and you can get 5 lifetime licenses for £70, which is what I did because I've got enough Macs to need all of that. And it just makes your Mac run slick as snot, mate. Gets rid of all of those crappy languages you don't need because you can't read them. And just makes it all swift and dandy and super.
So why is it that we live in a universe where software like that is available and we plug it, and yet when you go into people's houses, everyone has MacKeeper on their Macs?
Because MacKeeper has an aggressive sales policy. That means once you've installed it, it's a bitch to get off.
It's actually, bizarrely, not too bad. I mean, it does even uninstall itself, but...
In my opinion, and I must stress this is my opinion only, MacKeeper is about as useful as gonorrhea.
I would sooner install Norton on my machine than MacKeeper.
Norton Ghost.
Yes.
Ooh. Does nothing but go, ooh, once in a while and stop your Mac, your computer from working. Right, enough of this frivolity. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Mac Alistair?
Right, you can find me and all my related stuff over at screencastonline.com, where you'll find all the details about the tutorials, the magazine, and the apps as well.
And if you don't subscribe to Screencasts Online, you must have MacKeeper on your system, because you're that big of a muppet. If you own a Mac and you're not on Don's mailing list, then how do you even cope with getting dressed in the morning? Good God.
Thank you very much.
Next to him, Mr. Swagger, where can we get you?
Twitter, at Kyle Swagger.
No,
Kyle
you're
Swagger.
Back on Twitter now. You were all on Google Plus a little while ago, but no, he's back on Twitter because that's where all his mates
are. No, yeah, that's true.
You were
yeah,
Billy No Mates in the corner of the play yard.
I noticed app.net's got $5 a month now. That's enticing now.
$5 a month. You know that's... more than $60, more than the $50 that they charged before.
No. The 36, right? You know, that's fine. I just kind of wanted to try it out, and that lets you try it, and I kind of like that.
Okay. Did you enjoy your time there sending out one-way tweets and not getting any replies?
No, I just send them to myself.
Okay, good lad. Fine. Thanks for that. Ms. Gamont, where are you, girl?
You can find me on Twitter and on app.net as Verso.
Excellent. Clean My Disc is also useful, says someone in the chat room. Yes, it is. And you're on a lot of other podcasts as well, aren't you, Kelly?
I'm on basically all the podcasts.
What, on the rest of the net?
All the internets.
Oh, wow.
I'm occasionally a guest host on Angry Mac Bastards. You can find me on the Tuwa Talk cast and occasionally on the International Mac podcast as well.
Okay, excellent. Adam, where are you, sir?
I'm over at maccast.com, which is the website. Of course, Maccast on iTunes. And again, I just signed up for app.net. That's interesting. The $36 enticed me. And so at Maccast on Twitter and app.net.
And Adam does one of only four Mac podcasts that are worth listening to. And we do two of them, so...
I probably should... I'm so bad at mentioning the other the podcasts that I'm on, too. So, of course, occasionally at macroundtable.com. And also, We Have Communicators, which is more of an iOS-focused show that I do with Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer and Michael Johnston. And that is WHC, or We Have Communicators, podcast.com.
Excellent. Good on you. And DHM, where are you, pal?
Oh, app.net is so last week. You can find me on tent.io. Booyah!
Is Booyah still in? No? Was that last week as well?
The new series of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they don't say cowabunga anymore. They say
no.
Booyah.
What?
Shenanigans!
That's just not...
That ain't right.
That's right. That's not righteous.
Yeah, dude. That's not righteous.
How can you... Turtles don't say cowabunga. It's not right. Anyway, yes. I actually still am on Twitter for the rest... So, Dr. Happy Mac.
Okay, you're on Dr. Happy Mac.
My daughter says I must never say booyah again. Ever.
Yeah, because you look like an old sod in Sirencester going booyah in the corner.
Oh, I am cool.
Get her on the podcast now. Tell her what we should be saying. What's the current phrase?
What should I be saying?
What's hit with the kids?
She's gone.
There you go. See?
Oh, no.
Don't stick my face on the screen. Oh, there she is. No. Go on. What should we be shouting then at the minute?
What's cool?
I need to
hear that. Anything I don't say.
Booyah! You got owned. There we go.
All right. I apologize. There's my other call.
I'm going. Right. We'll see you next week. You can get me, Ewan Rankin, at Twitter. No. I'm all flustered now. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. There we go. Finally. We'll see you next week. Thursday is the live recording if you want to come watch. If you don't, then just wait till it comes on at the weekend. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Cowabunga, dude!
Righteous.